As we begin the season of Advent, which is 4 weeks long, Bishop Vinke has asked every parish in the diocese to do a kind of a retreat. And the retreat is based on the 4 weeks. It's a little bit like the Ignatian spiritual exercises. The 4 weeks are the wonder of God's creation. Second week is how we messed it up. The third week is how Jesus came to save it, rescue it. And then the fourth week is, okay, what do we do about that? So today, we're just going to talk a little bit about the wonder and the awe. We talk about this often, you know, the vastness of the cosmos, that all of it, just beyond our imagination, all of it was created by God. All of it spoken by the Word, which is Christ. You know, the Gospel of John begins out, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in Him and through Him, everything came into being. He is the Big Bang. He is the Word spoken by the Father. But we also know that creation wasn't just one instant, wasn't one bang. It's ongoing. The universe is continuing to expand. And the human race evolved from lower life forms, continues to evolve. And these things take so many billions of years that it isn't all that apparent to us. It doesn't seem like much changes. There was a 20th century paleontologist and Jesuit priest and theologian, Teilhard de Chardin. And Teilhard said, people say to me, it's been 2,000 years since Christ redeemed the world, and I can't see any difference. There are still wars, there's still injustice, there's still oppression. And his answer was, give us time. You know, when you think of the almost 14 billion years since the Big Bang, if you put that on a 24-hour clock, humans come on the scene at the last second before midnight. That's how recent we are. And in the beautiful, poetic way that the book of Genesis describes this as creation happening in 6 days, the pinnacle of that creation was humans. And even though we're at the last second before midnight on that 24-hour clock, we still are the pinnacle of God's creation. And God, in His infinite patience, waited all those billions of years to create His crowning glory. And our responsibility, our response to that is awe and wonder and gratitude and praise. It's not by accident that the Eucharistic prayer, which is the pinnacle of the Mass, it's the center, it's the most important elevated part of the Mass, is called the great prayer of praise and thanksgiving. Because that's who we are. We're the ones who can recognize the wonder of all this. You know, the mountains in their height and the oceans in their vastness and the cosmos in its seemingly infinite array, they praise God in silence by just being what they are. But we humans have consciousness. We have the ability to recognize all this and to praise God verbally and in our hearts for it. In fact, one of the duties and responsibilities of human beings is to be the voice of the rest of creation. They don't have a voice. They don't have freedom. They don't have consciousness. And so we do it for them. And so when we in the Mass pray this great prayer of praise and thanksgiving, we're drawing all of creation up into God, and it's a song of praise and thanks. One of the things we often say here is that liturgy, both the celebrated liturgy here in church and the liturgy of life that's lived out there, both of those are gift and response. It's recognizing that everything comes from God, even my life, and everything I have and everything I am, all my gifts, my talents, my misfortunes, my successes, my failures, it's all in God somehow. And recognizing that, I turn back toward that gift and I respond to it. And my response is praise and thanksgiving, but also in a deeper sense, it's the gift of myself back to God. The greatest expression, the most obvious expression of God's love for us is the cross. That God sent his Son into the world to redeem the world and to give his life for the world. And that gift requires a response, a like gift, that I give myself back to God. You know, when the Pharisees asked Jesus, is it lawful to pay tax to Caesar or not? And he says, give me a coin. Whose inscription is on it? Well, Caesar's. Okay, then give to Caesar what is Caesar's. But give to God what is God's. And what is God's? It's not something out of my pocket, although that represents it and that's important. But it's me. It's the gift of myself. And so whenever we celebrate the Mass, we watch those gifts of bread and wine coming forward and being placed on the altar, and those gifts come from us. Our money produced that bread. Our money produced that wine. And it's us. And we lay it on the altar because we're laid on the altar. Because we are the gift that is given back in response to God. And how does that get lived out? Well, St. Paul in that second reading suggests, what you're doing now, do even more. Be generous and kind to one another. Live your lives in gratitude. And finally, you know, for the last few weeks, we've been hearing these readings about the end times. And on the one hand, those readings sound kind of threatening, you know. Be guarded, be vigilant, don't get caught off guard, because it's going to happen and we don't know when, and it's going to be judgment, and it's going to, you know, all the horrific things that are going to be happening, wars and insurrections and violent earthquakes, etc. But the gospel today says, when that happens, stand up, because your redemption is at hand. This isn't bad news, it's gospel. It's good news. The good news is that no matter what happens, and we know that plenty happens, it's already happened to us, it's ongoing, there's tragedy everywhere. But this isn't a tragedy, this is a comedy. Comedies end happily ever after. This is a happily ever after story. No matter what comes before, when it happens, stand erect, because your redemption is at hand, because God loves you more than the rest of the world, that God never created anything he didn't find good and that he didn't love, and especially us humans. And Christ came and died on the cross to point that out to us, that there was no limit to God's love. It goes all the way to the death. And we have this destiny to be divinized, to become made into sharers in God's divine life, that we too would be self-offerers, that we too would lose ourselves in the mystery of redemption and give ourselves completely.